T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's switch it around. I asked you a question, John, before the break.
Yep.
Do you have one for me?
Ah, sure. So I follow you on Twitter. Speaking of which, you've plugged my Twitter feed. Go ahead and plug your own.
Oh, okay. You can follow myself, Michael Austin, KS Economist, at KS Economist on either Facebook or Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, to follow my latest ramblings on whatever's going on in the state and country.
So you tweeted out something this week with KC Mayor Quentin Lucas announcing his plans to make KC a, quote, sanctuary city, and thanking Denver Mayor for trailblazing. And news in news in Denver is going to be looking into the future. And it was related to this story, and you'll have to kind of tell my listeners about it, but basically, from what I understand, I haven't filled in Kansas City in a few weeks, but from the gist of what I've read, this is Kansas City, Missouri,
yep,
Mayor Quentin Lucas, who is a raging liberal. And what's funny is I've talked with Pete Mundo, because, you know, I fill in for Pete a lot up there, and he somehow gets Quentin Lucas on his station, which I don't understand how he gets that.
Well, that's economics, first and foremost, because I think KCMO talk radio out in KC is just growing. It's just skyrocketing. And so if Quentin Lucas wants to get his voice heard, he needs to talk to Pete Mundo.
Okay. Well, that's how but I've talked to Pete about Lucas. And, I mean, Lucas is pro-gun control. He's radical transgender, you know, alphabet mafia guy. And now he's come out and he said, essentially what he said was that we being Kansas City, needs more workers, needs more labor. And so he's making it a sanctuary city. They want migrant labor. And has he not learned the lesson of what's happened in all of these cities that have gone to sanctuary city policies and then been inundated? I mean, my first thought was, great. Tell Texas and Florida, let them start shipping busloads up into Kansas City.
Oh, goodness.
And let them see how that feels. The problem is they're just going to flow into Kansas City, Kansas.
So you're exactly right, John. So I think Kansas City just passed a budget, and in that budget they had millions of dollars that they appropriated towards bringing in illegal aliens into Kansas City.
I didn't know they did that.
Well, that was the impetus for this. Why he's making this this press release, right? He has it in the budget. It got passed where they're going to spend taxpayer funds on illegal aliens,
like New York is doing,
housing
incentives and that kind of stuff,
like Denver is doing
for illegals.
And so he is thanking that New York City mayor. He's thanking the Denver mayor. Thank you for trailblazing this.
Yeah, thank you for giving away our money to illegals.
Meanwhile, Kansas City residents are just looking at this saying, do you not watch the news? I mean, we're seeing crime. We're seeing police being attacked. We're seeing Lake and Riley, right? The poor girl who was murdered by an illegal alien. And you're telling me you want to bring all of that to Kansas City, a city that is already a crime infested hole. I mean, don't forget, let's not forget about the Chiefs parade, right? The shooting at the Chiefs parade.
Right. Yeah.
This is before any illegals were invited into the city. We are, that place already has crime problems, and he just wants to double down.
So what's his thought? I mean, is he that desperate for labor? Are they having a labor? Well, all cities, I think, are struggling to, they've got unemployment issues they're having. And it's not that people, it's just people don't want to work. But I think that's a side effect of COVID to an extent. But why would he think that the solution is illegals?
I don't think it's a labor issue. I think he's trying to find the best scapegoat to justify his progressive plan. He wants to say that there's a labor issue, yet the economics says more and more Missourians and Kansans are moving to the metro area than ever before. It is not a labor issue. It is a scapegoat. He is using that as a reason to justify what he wants, which is to make Kansas City a sanctuary city. And everybody knows that it's going to spill over and make everybody's spill over into Kansas and make everybody's life worse off.
Well, and the other thing that would frustrate me if I was a voter is, first off, my taxpayer dollars going to illegals. But he just lost rather significantly in that referendum on the Chiefs and the Royals Stadium project.
Yes.
So clearly taxpayers aren't wanting more taxpayer handouts for stuff. And now here you have taxpayer money. It's one thing to ask the taxpayers to pay for a stadium that at least they can use. Here you're going to give taxpayer money to illegals?
And where's he going to put them? He's going to put them in...
Apparently in the stadiums.
You know, that might be a bad idea from him. He's probably going to put him in the stadiums, no. But what's the New York City mayor doing? He's taking five-star hotels and he's putting migrants in there. Denver's doing the exact same thing. And then they have... they're all dealing with issues where their own law enforcement doesn't trust them. In New York City, you have law enforcement turning their back on Eric Adams up there. And they already have a strained relationship here in Kansas City, and he just wants to add more fuel to that fire.
And what's been the response from the general public to this? I mean, what's Mundo saying? What are his listeners saying? Or is this basically just getting swept under the rug?
I think Mundo did a good job in pushing back, saying, what the heck are you doing? But I guess time will tell, right? Because right now we're just dealing with an appropriation and a talking point. But now we're going to see whether Quentin Lucas really wants that type of trouble coming into Kansas City, knowing that he already is quite inept at fixing crime in Kansas City.
Well, I think the solution is that somebody needs to call Governor Abbott and Governor DeSantis and let them know that Kansas City, Missouri, is open for business.
Yes,
Missouri. And let them send some buses that way. I mean, I think that's really, I mean, it worked for New York. It worked in Chicago. So I think, frankly, if you really want that, if you want them that bad, call Texas, send them that way. You got another destination. And the good news for Texas is it's a lot cheaper than sending a bus to New York. All you have to do is send them a couple hours up the road.
And if you're a local leader out on the Kansas-Missouri border, take that as your cue to appropriate some more funds into your law enforcement,
exactly.
Right? It's coming around the bend. It's coming down the hill. You know it's coming here. Do what you can to try to push back against the oncoming storm.
Oh, goodness. Oh, boy. I sure hope Texas isn't listening.
This week, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer bypassed an impeachment trial against DHS Secretary Mayorkas, effectively shielding Democrat senators from that pivotal vote. Constitutional law experts are now examining the implications of the precedent set by the Senate Democrats on Wednesday when they killed the impeachment trial for Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, effectively dismissing it. With us now to discuss what Senate Democrats did to Tea Party did to Senate Democrats is Tea Party Patriots Action Honorary Chairman Jenny Beth Martin. Jenny Beth, thank you so much for joining us here tonight.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So, Jenny, the articles of impeachment against Mayorkas were serious. They warrant, I think, serious consideration and a full and fair trial by the full Senate. But Chuck Schumer clearly didn't agree. Why do you think he moved to dismiss, and does he really think that Mayorkas is doing that great of a job?
I think that he moved to dismiss because he could, and he could get away with it, and he could sweep everything that's going on at the border under the rug, and that's precisely what he did. And in doing so, he has completely obliterated impeachment. There's no reason for a United States Senate to ever have a trial again because the precedent has now been set that if the House passes articles of impeachment, the Senate can completely ignore them.
Man.
And frankly, that's what they do when it is with a Democrat. They are doing this with Mayorkas. The trial with Bill Clinton years ago was extraordinarily short. And they don't take it seriously when it's happening to a Democrat.
So does the Senate have any constitutional authority to rule that articles approved by the House do not state impeachable offenses without even having a trial? I mean, is there anything that we can point to in the Constitution that says Schumer just should not do this?
Well, I think that we just have to understand that no matter what it says, that the Senate is going to do what they do. We're dealing in a situation right now, and I know we need, I can go back and discuss your point, but we're dealing in a situation right now where we truly have a double standard when it comes to justice in this country. And what is happening to President Trump with the endless trials, the endless accusations, the endless threats and indictments against him versus what we see when it comes to Democrats is shocking. And it is something that I don't think any of us have really ever experienced in our life before. So I think that it's completely wrong. The Constitution does not say anything at all about shielding senators from taking tough votes, but what we saw happen this past week truly does shield them from having to listen to the evidence or to even really take a tough vote. When impeachment entered into the Constitution, the intention was for there to be a trial with the entire Senate, not to brush it under the rug and not to send it even to a smaller committee, but for the people who are elected, the senators, to actually do their job and do what they are supposed to do and have a fair trial. But we're not seeing that.
You know, earlier today, obviously on a completely different issue, it was related to Trump's hush money trial. The left just wants power. And so, you know, you try to understand these tactics in terms of either constituents or some sort of policy principle, and you just can't do that. It's really about making sure that the person that they want to be in power to rule over you maintains that power. So when I'm thinking about the politics of impeachment, you know, that was certainly one, you know, that the Senate Democrats were hoping to avoid. But it just seems to me that the bigger issue was they wanted to avoid having a vote on immigration. They didn't want to have to publicly support Joe Biden's failed immigration policies. I mean, do you think that has, you know, do you think that type of politics is playing a role here?
Yes, I think that it was. Mayorkas has lied to Congress. It's mind-boggling. But what is happening at the border, he said that he has operational control of the border. He doesn't have control of the border. They are not following the law. They are ignoring the law. Every single person basically who enters the country right now through an entry point is being allowed to stay in the country. That's not how our law is supposed to work. And then the people who are getting away, the known gotaways, and even the unknown, because we know there are people who we don't even know about who are still getting away. Those are people who don't want the United States government to know they're here, because if you went through an entry point, you could get through pretty easily right now. So they're either coming from a country where they don't want America to know that they have come from that country, or they're carrying drugs or other illicit material, or they're doing something extraordinarily bad when it comes to human trafficking, because even some of the human trafficking that is happening can go straight through the entry points at this point. The United States Senate doesn't want to expose that. They don't want to have to deal with that, certainly not in an election year.
You know, we are a democracy. And let me take that back. We are a republic, right? Which is a representative democracy. We don't believe in mob rule, majority rule, if it's going to trample over the rights of the minority. But just like you said, we have a very unfortunate precedent here. We have a situation where the majority is, you know, setting a – the majority in the Senate thinks that they can just dismiss impeachment charges of any kind going forward. Can you elaborate a little bit more about, yes, how dangerous this is and what it could mean for the future?
Well, I think that what it means at this point, the Senate is a body that works based on tradition. So when a precedent has been set, they lean on that precedent for how they will act in the future. And now that the precedent has been set that they can ignore the duty that they have to have a trial for impeachment and just set it aside and not actually go through with that, that is what is going to happen in the future. Now, if an impeachment, as long as it's someone who they don't want to see removed from office, if it is somebody who they want to see removed from office or they think it is politically expedient to have that trial, you better believe they're still going to have the trial.
Yep.
But if they don't want to do that, then they won't. So let's say that Trump were to get reelected in the future and the House is controlled by Democrats and they go forward with an impeachment. I imagine that they would, and who knows what it would be an impeachment for. I just figure that if that is the scenario, we probably can expect another impeachment of Trump, which would be a disaster. But what I can imagine from the Democrats in the House. Well, if the Democrats controlled the Senate, they I'm sure would continue to have it. A trial in that
yes,
case.
That's right.
If Republicans control the Senate, based on what has happened in the past, they still think they would have a trial because they're trying to be fair. But I think that we've got a double standard when it comes to justice in this country, and the Democrats do exactly what they want to do to have power, and the Republicans keep trying to play by the rules.
Yes. So listeners, if there's anything I think you can take away from this conversation, it's that elections have consequences. You have one party, which is exactly what you said, just wants power, and the other one that believes in the rule of law. And the you know one of the best rules that we need to follow, of course, is our U.S. Constitution. Jenny Beth, thank you 100%. So much. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. If folks want to connect with you, where can they find you online?
They can find me at teapartypatriots.org and Jenny Beth M on social media. And the most important thing we can do between now and November is secure elections and win elections.
Well said. Jenny Beth, thank you again for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The legislature is still on first adjournment, and while the paperwork of the bills they pass are being processed by staff and delivered to the governor's desk for her to sign, veto, or let it roll into law without her signature, She has been busy with her veto, Ben, as I most certainly am quite frustrated with at the onset of our talk today. So she is setting up another busy veto session for the legislature when they come back. Joining us now to give us a preview of that veto session is the great Kansas Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins. Mr. Speaker, thank you for coming online and joining us today.
Michael, it is certainly my pleasure, and boy, does the governor have a veto pen. She's got 11 of them out there so far.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's just starting.
Well, you see, John, I said it. I said I have, you know, 5 to 7 bills I care about that she's vetoed. Yep. You added an extra 3, and now we have Mr. Speaker saying, well, technically it's 11 now.
Yeah, she's she's a piece of work.
There's 11 of them, but you know, out of that 11, Michael, there's a few that we probably just can't override. We just don't have the numbers, but
sure.
There's quite a few that we can. Senate Bill 233, which is the transgender, a non-affirming, actually we call it help not harm bill. I think we should be able to get an override on that. The sugaring bill, which is Senate Bill 434, probably not. I think we only had 72 or 73 votes on that one, so that's probably not going to work. We had the abortion reporting bill. We should actually get a really nice veto on that, as well as the abortion coercion bill. Rules and regs, possible. That one's that's House Bill 2648. And the plastic bags, probably not. We didn't get hardly enough votes. Well, we got enough votes to pass it, but not enough for a big override.
Okay, so
that was actually her first set. And then last Friday, she had a whole another set that she vetoed.
She really wants us to not use plastic bags at Dillon's. I really don't understand this why. Okay, anyway, I'm moving on. So she has vetoed a number of bills, like you had mentioned, pregnancy crisis center fundings, abortion coercion, your bill, help not harm, regulatory checks that we put on government bureaucracies. So much for being middle of the road. But what is this I hear about a bill that you guys had passed out, increasing penalties for killing police dogs?
Yeah, that was just, I still don't get that one. Out of all of the bills for her to, you know, she's actually fairly predictable. All of these bills, I would guess that she would, but that one just surprised me. It really surprised me because her veto message said that, you know, that the penalty was maybe not in line with other penalties, and we've heard that objection, but quite frankly, get the other ones up where they should be instead of pulling this one down. That's my point. You know, when I found out it was only a $500 fine when you killed a police dog or a police horse or injured them, I thought, wow, we got to do something about this. And so we actually did some studying to see what other states had done. Some were much more severe penalties than what we use here in this one. I would say that these are kind of, I think we struck the right balance here. And I, quite frankly, I think we'll override her veto. We had probably, I don't know, close to 100 people that voted yes for that. Now, it wasn't quite as good in the Senate, but there were some people that I think can be reached and hopefully, get them on board. This is a bill that just needs to, we just need to override her. It's horrible.
So like almost on all the other bills that you have passed, you guys have done your homework on this. So it's not like you're pulling this out of thin air saying that this is what you want to pass because you feel good. No, you see a problem, you research it, you try to fix it, and you craft a bill to fix that problem, and you send it to Laura Kelly's desk. And because she has an inability to let things go, she feels that she could veto this. Well, for listeners out there, I saw this on Twitter, and I thought this was very appropriate. So after she vetoed, you know, that bill increasing penalties for killing or injuring police dogs, your office put out the Wicked Witch of the West. And you put Laura Kelly's face on it, and you painted it green, and you put the little caption down here: "I'll get you, law enforcement, and your little dogs too." And it's a shame you have to get there, because it's such common sense policy. And I'm not saying that this is, you know, paramount, but it's just, it's the feature that tells you what's going on with every other bill that you guys are sending out to her desk. Pulling back the fourth regulatory state, making sure you can't push any type of abortion coercion, transparency, 9 to 10 out of these bills here are really efforts of transparency, and Laura Kelly wouldn't even give you that.
Yeah, like abortion reporting. I mean, so you're going to veto because undoubtedly she doesn't want anybody to know why a person's getting an abortion. Don't you think that's an important thing to know? Because maybe there's some way that you can help that person, and then that baby could live instead of die through an abortion. I don't understand her when it comes to some of these items. And, of course, she's got so many. I mean, there's just so many things that she's going to veto yet to come. She's just started. You know, there's 11 out there, but she has just started. The veto pen is going to be hot and heavy this week.
So, Dan, you mentioned, by the way, and, you know, we talk about her being middle of the road. I think she's in a lane on the road, and she's in the middle. She's just in the middle of the left lane on the road. So I think we got to keep that in mind.
I call it the left dick, Jack.
That's good. That's better than my analogy. You mentioned there's more to come. Can you give us an idea? Obviously, the tax bill, I would my money is on veto. I think she, like Michael mentioned earlier, I think she's just used that revenue, consensus revenue, as a cover. I think she's going to veto it. She'll just have to come up with some malarkey excuse for why. But I think she vetoes that. You know, can you talk about that?
Well, I think number one, she thought, which a lot of us probably thought, that they were going to adjust down the consensus revenue estimate would be adjusted down. And instead, this year is flat. Next year, it's increasing again. They see, you know, a good economic forecast for next year. So, I think that took that away from her. She was going to use that as part of her story about why she was going to veto the tax bill. Now she's got to come up with something different. And I think what she's going to do is she's just going to say, "Oh, it's too expensive." You know, the when you add all of the things up that we're spending money on, that it's just too expensive and we're just not going to do it. So I actually think that with the vote that we had in the House, which was just a massive vote, 119 to zero, massive. The Senate was 25-9. And I actually think that in the Senate, they can come up with a couple. I want to do a veto override, because I truly think that we'll show her that there are people out there that believe that, you know, it's time to give some of this money back to the taxpayers. You know, a state the size of ours was never meant to have $5 billion or $4.5 billion sitting in the bank in a rainy day fund, holding, you know, money instead of giving it back to the citizens of the state, the taxpayers. So, we're going to take an override attempt, and if it doesn't work, then we'll have to figure out what's left to do. But, you know, this will be her, third or fourth veto in a two-year period on taxes. She literally has never let a tax bill that we have presented her go into law. So this one's going to be the same way, I believe.
Yeah.
Now, I would love to see her, you know, make me wrong, you know. Go out there and do something that's right, Governor, and Dan Hawkins will admit, man, I called that one wrong, but I just don't think I'll be wrong. I think she'll veto it.
We're approaching double digits now since she's been in office of vetoing a tax relief provision. And I think you're exactly right. She might just say that's too expensive, even though when she's saying too expensive, she means, you know, $30-40 million, which in terms of the state budget is quite frankly, pennies. Not only that, but I looked at there are four Democrat governors, four states out there with a similar political makeup to Kansas, right? Republican legislature, Democrat governor, four Democrat governors who have signed income tax cuts that is bigger than what the legislature here in Kansas has put out there. And those four Democrat governors have signed it. So when she talks about it being expensive, it has no basis in reality. It's really just about what she wants and whether she can get, whether she can control, you know, Kansans' wallets or not.
Dan, with $5 billion in reserve, and that's obscene. That is frankly, it's disgusting. It enrages me that the state is sitting on that much of our money. How can she possibly justify not giving some of that money back? I don't know how do Democrats not insist on it?
Well, I think the Democrats are probably going to, some of them are going to say, no, Governor, we're not paying attention to you. We're going to vote for the tax cut. I think in the House, I think you'll see probably at least half of them that will stay on board even if she vetoes it. And so it'll be an overwhelming veto in the House. I think there is a possibility that in the Senate you could see a Democrat come on board, maybe a couple. The Democrats have been a lot more against this tax package in the Senate, and nobody can really figure out why. I don't know why they are, except that couldn't be that reason, because they didn't like flat taxes anyway. So I'm not sure what their deal was. Maybe it's just because the governor didn't like it. It's the reason why they didn't like it. They do tend to follow the governor a lot more than what the House member on the Democrat side of the aisle do. So it very well could be that they're just following the governor. But I think you're going to see some people say, listen, we need to return this. It is, the end of the session. We don't have a whole lot of time left. By the time we get to vetoes, it's going to be Monday and Tuesday of next week. The following week, not tomorrow or the next Tuesday, but it'll be the following week. And so we're at the end with not a whole lot of time to do much, so except just, finish up the business of the legislature. So
is there, Mr. Speaker, are there any other bills that are heading to her desk that you think she might veto?
Yeah, there's always stuff out there that she doesn't like. I mean, she is a veto queen. The budget bill she has on her desk right now, that'll probably be, you'll start seeing line item vetoes from her on that, maybe as early as Tuesday or Wednesday of this next week. It could be Friday. Friday would be the last day, because that's the last day that they have to veto anything. But I do think that we can see as many as 10 or 12 line item vetoes.
Jeez.
Which is not uncommon. I mean, I think last year she did 13 or 14. So, she's the most vetoing governor we've had. Probably you got to go way back in history to find one. Maybe in the early 1900s, there was one that would do as many as she did, but they didn't do it every year. And every year she is the veto queen. She loves the veto pen. But she hates to be overridden, and so it's my job to make sure we get all of our folks on board and we override as many of them as we can. We might as well make her sick while we're doing it.
Okay, so you
and I'm saying that, sick from overrides, not sick being sick.
Thank you for clarifying, Mr. Speaker. So while she might be the veto queen, it gives you the opportunity to be the override king. Can I say that?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Perfect. Well, Mr. Speaker, if folks want to connect with you, they can find you online at danhawkinskansas.com. Is that right?
Absolutely. danhawkinskansas.com.
Perfect. Well, Mr. Speaker, thank you again for joining us this evening, and good luck for that upcoming veto session.
Yeah, can't wait. Thanks, Michael.
Let's open up those lines. I believe we got a caller. Ed, you're on the John Whitmer Show. How's it going?
Hey, okay. Thanks for taking my call. I see this stories about the speeders out here frustrating the heck out of me because they can't seem to figure out what to do about it. Well, about 70 years ago, I was speeding in Wichita, and this cop stopped me and said, I was 16. He said, I'm supposed to take you to jail for the speed over the limit you were doing. But since you don't have a driver, I'll let you off. So they must have had a law then. So now, when they stop them, impound their car, and take them to jail, have them spend the night in jail, I'll guarantee that happens a couple of times, and they're not going to speed no more.
Oh, I bet you're right. We got to enforce the law. And
they got to get some backbone and to do some stuff like that.
And surprise, surprise, when you enforce the law, you deter bad actions. Isn't that right?
Yeah, but just tell the guy, if we're speeding so much over the speed limit, hey, well, you're going to jail, and we're going to impound your car. That's it. No question. No nothing. That'll stop it.
Thank you so much for the call, Ed. All right, our next, Nick, you are on the John Whitmer Show. How's it going, my friend?
Wonderful. One of my two favorite Republicans. I love it. Hey, listen, I just wanted to let you know that as a delegate for McPherson County, I was proud to vote for you, Michael Austin, for delegate at the RNC, and it was kind of interesting.
Nick.
There were some open mouths kind of shocked at that deal. But let me comment on this, too. I have met Mike Brown, and personally, I got a bad vibe from him. Anybody who talks in the third person, it's kind of weird anyway. Michael, you've always given me a good vibe. And John Whitmer, I love you, but he's always given me that pro-politician vibe. But by the way, John.
Hey, I can't be a pro-politician. I'm not an elected official.
I heard double standard mentioned more than once, so I was wondering, are those adult use or medicinal bourbon?
Oh, my God.
No. So listen, be godly and enjoy liberty, which is freedom with morality. And I'm not promoting vice nor idolatry, but just asking for consistent application of our principles of constitutional conservative republic.
Here comes.
Nick, here comes.
Go ahead.
So we need to be unified for the purpose of preserving this republic for our posterity
and
be hard on crime. Now, most important part, Ephesians 4:29-32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of the Lord, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another.
I agree with all of this.
Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God bless you, John.
Amen, brother.
God bless you, Nick.
He didn't bring up marijuana.
Look,
I am surprised.
Look, he had me at proud to vote for you, Michael Austin. So I didn't care. Whatever he said, I was already with him, John.
I like Nick. Nick is always reasonable. He's, Nick and I, and the thing is, we have incremental differences, because I agree with him a little bit on marijuana. I mean, I could do the medical as long as it's, for a legitimate medical need that is prescribed by a doctor and filled by a pharmacist. That's about as far as I go on the marijuana stuff.
Nick, you're a great American. Thank you so much for that call.
You don't want to weigh in on the marijuana conversation.
Make sure you know that the weekly Wichita Pachyderm Club lunch.
This
Friday at noon.
We have got 4 minutes left. So you don't have an opinion, or you're avoiding the question.
So I'm a conservative libertarian, right? Which is, I want limited government. I like that being done by following the Constitution. To have that done, when it comes to marijuana, I acknowledge both sides. One, you have a libertarian view, which is like, government shouldn't be getting involved in this in the first place.
Yeah, pass the Doritos.
At the same time, you also need to acknowledge a reality, right? Which is that, marijuana as it currently stands is used as, the sales of it is used by, drug dealers to pay for even worse drugs that are out there.
Yeah.
So there definitely needs to be legalization, but you got to have control. I mean, look at what's happening in Colorado,
right?
Look what's happening in other states.
And the other issue is it's still a Schedule I narcotic.
And that's the biggest thing,
too.
This
is my biggest issue. Every state that has legalized is still violating federal law.
So the bigger issue, of course, is how do you get federal law to turn it? This is what the policy that you want to do.
Call your congressman. I'll give you Ron Estes's cell number. Feel free to call him.
But I'm not going to put words in Nick's mouth, because obviously he's not here to defend himself. Though I would guess that he would probably say that part of getting the federal government to turn around on this issue is for states to act on it first.
Yeah, but that's cattywampus. Because the only reason the states are doing this is because Barack Obama chose to just pretend to just ignore them. That's how it all started. He said I'm going to direct my law enforcement agencies not to enforce the law. Well, you can't do that. You can't just choose which laws to enforce and which ones not to enforce. And that's where I fall on it. As long as it's illegal at the federal level, it should be illegal, period. You want to change it, change the law. There you go. There's my two cents.
There's our 2 cents.
It's not even worth 2 cents.
In the meantime, have a great week and carry on, fellow deplorables.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.